Ari and Dave Archer with the Big 12 Radio Network at Sirius XM. Dave Archer, of course, former Iowa State quarterback, NFL quarterback, does pre and post game for the Falcons and also color as well. And he joins us now live. Paul Catalina in studio with me. I'm David Smoke. Dave, man, I enjoy those segments. You got that thing covered, don't you? You just bounce around the league and the conference and get insight from everybody.
Well, Smokey, it's fun to have guys like yourself on that know the areas and know the Big 12 so well that we lean on you guys. So that's the beauty of it, is to find experts like yourself that are out there that can come on and break it down for us. And it was a lot of fun to have you on today.
And Dave, by the way, his segment with John Morris will appear on the pregame show coming up on Saturday with Learfield IMG. I think Iowa State, and I said this to you earlier today, that they're a year or two ahead of where Matt Rhule wants to be. Would you agree with that?
That Iowa State is a little – you talk about Baylor then. Baylor's a little ahead?
No, Iowa State is about a year or two ahead of what Matt Rhule wants to be at Baylor.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry. I would think that, yeah, Matt Rhule's right on track to have Baylor one of those teams that's going to compete for a championship over the next couple seasons. Is it too early to say that they could do that this year? I don't know, Smokey. I think that this is one of those teams that sometimes you get a little bit of a rhythm. You get a brotherhood, if you will, a continuity on both sides of the ball. They're playing really good defensively right now, and we know that it's preseason, and so we don't know a lot about what either team is going to bring in. Maybe we know a little bit more about Iowa State because they had a chance to play against Iowa. But I love the trajectory. I think you're correct in the trajectory. They are certainly pointed up. But I'm not so sure that with Charlie Brewer at quarterback and some of the weapons that have emerged and then the way they're playing team defense, I'm not sure that they don't think that maybe this year they could make some noise.
For Iowa State, they played two games. Of course, Northern Iowa down to the wire, and then that ridiculous rain-soaked game against Iowa that was 18-17 that they lose on a muff punt. What – Have we really seen their full potential at all? I mean, in the Louisiana Monroe, they blew out. Have we seen what they can really do yet?
I think they were still trying to find out who they were on offense. You know, you lose David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler, two guys that they leaned on for big plays. They kind of had to figure out who were going to make the plays for them. And so that's what the first 3 weeks have really been about for them. I think we knew who Iowa State was going to be defensively. We knew they were going to be very difficult to run the football against. You like their front seven. Their safeties are good with Eisworth, the safety. And so you're probably learning about the corners maybe a little bit. They got two new corners. And I think the two corners are vulnerable in this game, by the way. But I think you knew what they looked like on the defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, I think that there was some identity, a little bit of an identity crisis for Iowa State on the offensive side of the ball. But the emergence of Tariq Melton to play opposite what Deshaunte Jones does at the wide receiver position, and then kind of a stable of backs. And Kenny Nwangu has really stepped up and kind of been a guy they can count on. Crony was a guy they counted on big in the Iowa game. So they've got two or three backs that are going to fill the role of David Montgomery. So I think it's fair to say that they tried to find themselves, and I think they did find themselves a little bit this last week.
Do you feel like Charlie Brewer, when he looks in the mirror, he sees Brock Purdy and vice versa?
I know we do, don't we? I mean, you look at them, and they're very efficient guys. They're very knowledgeable guys. I think they're, from what I understand, I know I've been around Brock a little bit. From what I understand about Charlie, is they're both kind of the gym rat guys that like to spend a lot of time watching tape and trying to refine themselves that way. So, I think that there's certainly two peas of the same pod, guys that take care of the ball, have that athleticism that kind of belies what they look like. You walk up on Brock Purdy, and you wouldn't think that the next thing you know, he's running by you on a zone read. So, and I think Charlie does the same thing. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch both these guys operate.
Is there anything on the surface that you think Baylor does better than Iowa State right now?
I think they run the ball better than Iowa State does. I think Iowa State is their offensive line has been a little bit skittish at times. I think there's been some blown assignments. And I think that they've still tried to find that guy that they're going to kind of lean on. I think they're still leaning on three or four guys. But I would say Baylor, if you really try to find something, I think they run the ball a little bit better than Iowa State does with that offensive line and what they try to do running the ball.
Dave, you played the game and at many levels. Did you ever allow a game from the year before to carry over emotionally to the next time you played a team, even if it was 12 months later?
I think it helped you prepare, Smokey. I think that I remember playing the Cowboys in my second year. We were up 10-0 against the Cowboys, and then I threw three second-half interceptions, and we lost that game by a touchdown. And the Cowboys players talked about how they'd intimidated me, which couldn't have been further from the truth. I just played poorly in the second half. Well, we played them the next year. Both teams were 2-0, and we went into Texas Stadium and beat the Cowboys. That was a big motivator for me as a young player. Now, I didn't carry out in the game. Once you get in the game and start playing, you're not thinking about that. But certainly from a preparation standpoint or having a little chip on your shoulder, I think it helps.
With Matt Campbell, you know, his name is going to be mentioned for every job that comes up, if it's Michigan or whatever. Do you see him as a guy who feels pretty comfortable in Ames and that this is, honestly, this is his program? As it continues to go up, I mean, he didn't really build it on the shoulders of anybody. It's his.
Well, I sure hope so. I hope he's comfortable, and whatever we need to do to help him stay comfortable there in Ames would be great. I hope that he kind of takes a liking to it, like Kurt Ferentz has taken a liking to Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Ferentz has had a number of opportunities, guys, as you know, to go to the National Football League, to other schools around the country. But he got comfortable there with his family and raised his family there and has been the Iowa coach and a great Iowa coach for a long time, following the shoes of Hayden Fry. So that was a program that he had to take over from a legend in Hayden Fry. This is one that you said, this is Matt Campbell's program, this is Matt Campbell's team. So I hope he's taken a liking to it, but he's such a good young coach, and there's so much money out there, guys, and there's so many other hills to climb that, boy, it'd really be tough for Iowa State to hang on to him.
There's sometimes we put too much on one game, and for Baylor, this is, I don't know if it's a validation game, but it does set them up to then be a part of a conversation down the road. For Iowa State, even though it was a strange game with Iowa, the loss to Iowa, does a loss Saturday put them on an alert to be careful not to fall off the rails?
Yeah, I think it's one that this is a veteran team that's kind of grown up with Matt Campbell. And so they've had a few games that they let slip away from. They've had some major victories, beating Oklahoma 2 years ago in Norman, beating TCU at home at ranked number 5 in the country. They beat West Virginia last year, was in the top 10 team. So this is a veteran team. It's kind of gone through some ups and downs with Matt Campbell. So I think that they could ride through a loss. I know that they don't want to think about that. I certainly don't want to think about that either. But I think that they would survive it should it happen.
Dave, thank you. Appreciate it, buddy. Great to hear from you. Good to be on with you whenever I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Smokey. Appreciate it. Good to be with you guys.
Dave Archer from the SiriusXM Big 12 Radio Network.